This is RSBNB Update, episode 540, recorded Friday, October 23rd, 2015, the multi-plank PvP strategy. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. Sitting in with myself this week is Colton from Informer. Hello.
Hello, that is me. I am back.
Yeah, so this week is an update to RuneScape that was teased back in August, I believe. A nice little way to bring some attention back to Falador. Graphical updates and whatnot, but before we get going, anything you'd like to say or introduce yourself about that's different than last time?
No. I am the same person. I love to quest. I'm a member of Clan Quest, and I'm an informer. There you go. That's who I am.
Right on. Yeah, last time we had you on was the Vampire Vanescula Sucks episode.
Yes, that is correct.
Which,
Lord of Vampirium.
Yeah, that raised a whole bunch of questions after the fact, but maybe we'll need to go back to all these quests someday and say, okay, have we ever resolved the issues in any of these quests? We'll see. But
yeah.
Anyways, we're getting slightly off track there. Falador graphical update and mini event. Let's start with the graphical update. You know, they didn't do a complete rework as they did in various other cities, you know, like Lumbridge got completely changed over, Taverly Berthorpe completely changed over when they did that. Basically what we were looking at here was just, you know, a fresh coat of paint, new textures and whatnot, you know, textures borrowed from various places like Ashdale and Priftinus, that kind of thing, for the ground and the trees, of course. And well, the city's been made whiter, I think, so yeah.
It looks nice. Everything looks a bit more it has a more full look, if I can use that word, because I don't know, the walls seem a bit sturdier, seem thicker, especially like I love the castle and how it looks now, and all the NPCs look nice, and it just got a nice polish.
Yeah, and I mean that's typically the normal process for game updates as we approach a new graphical technology, because, you know, before RuneScape High Detail was released, all the NPCs and whatnot were updated. Ardoyan was updated with RS HD, and, you know, RS3 also had its own fair share of graphical updates. So that kind of thing normally comes before graphical update. And, you know, that entire thing got me thinking, what would this new version of Falador end up looking like in the NXT client?
Wish they would have shown us that.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been something nice to see as to exactly where we're going with that front down the road, because lots of different lighting in this area compared to others. I mean, you can tell kind of what kind of lighting is in play based on how various items you're wearing react to the environment. Like, for example, in this area, the thing I always use for a benchmark is how green my farming cape is, and it gets darker, and that's just because they're using more targeted lighting, I'd guess, if I had to put a guess out there. But trees. I like the trees.
Yeah? How so?
They just look like real trees. Like they look like real birch trees. That's all I have to say about it, really.
Yeah.
You know, they changed them when RSHD came out to be taller. So they're actually taller than your character. Because for anyone who remembers pre-RSHD, the trees were as tall as your character. All the trees. Magic, you, all the way down to the very basic little one. So.
And they were all the same shape, that little, like, mushroom
cap.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And actually, there is one of those left. If you take the boat from Port Sarum to Kiramja, right as you get off the boat by the banana plantation, there's actually one of those trees left.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I noticed it when I took a wrong turn during a farming run. a couple months back that, oh, okay, so we got an old-fashioned tree here, and I think I posted an image of that on RuneWire, but yeah, you know, in general, that's something I've been wanting since, you know, Ashtail came out and later on Pryftinus' environment updates like that, so that was very nice, so...
The newer models of just about everything look a lot nicer. So
yeah, we finally get to you know, cut those trees down and whatnot. But anyways,
Montimbo style.
Montimbo.
I said Montimbo style. That you heard about that, right?
No, I didn't. What was this?
It was, I think it was last week. There was a tree next to the West Varrock bank that was removed. And there was much, like, false rage. And on Reddit, there was a duel. He accepted a challenge to duel for the fate of the tree, to bring the tree back or to leave it. And Montimbo showed up as Virago. Yeah, it's pretty great. Needless to say, the tree is still not in game and likely will never see the light of day again. So.
Yeah. By the way, that was posted on the at RSBMB's staff Twitter, that picture back in August of the tree on Karamja, like that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you favorited it.
Oh, I did?
You did.
Yeah, that was a long time ago then.
Yeah.
It feels like a long time ago.
Oh. All right. Well, let's get to the matter at hand. Everyone is probably... hoping we'll discuss. I mean, I can only be a tree hugger one day a week, and I guess it's that day, right?
Yeah, can't have too much hippie stuff, yeah.
All right, so the Black Knights of the Kinshara have launched their attack on Falador.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they have.
So, lore-wise, anything new here?
The Kinshara, if you didn't know, were founded, well, we think they were founded back in the Fourth Age-ish. They, along with the White Knights, helped King Radalin become the first king of Asgarnia in the, I think it was year 8 of the Fifth Age, I want to say. And from there, their sort of rivalry deepened and the divide grew until the White Knights sort of took over. And the Kinshara, at this point, the impetus for their invasion, it seems, is to retrieve the banner of Radalin and the sword of Radalin.
Yeah.
So it's basically a fight for some relics. That's why.
And one of those relics is, of course, tied to the event, and that is the banner. And the other one is the Treasure Hunter promotion of this week, which is done in a unique way. So we'll also talk about that, but in just a little bit. So you're not asked to, you know, outright choose a side in this world event like you were in other world events. No. Personally, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, agreed. And there's no, like, bar at the top, which is what I always sort of didn't like about the last three world events, because it, I mean, once you get there and you see one bar that's more massive than another, even if it's, like, just 20 minutes in, and you're like, oh, man, I don't want to join the losing side. I don't really mind which side I join, but now that I see that this side is winning, I'm going to join the winning side. Even if there's no advantage, people naturally will join the winning side just to be on the winning side. So I like that that's not a thing in this event.
Yeah.
It's not a world
and,
event.
You know, with there being no progress, we don't know who's winning. And Jagex said they will inform us who wins after the event. Now, you think they will?
Well, no, I don't want to bring up the whole "it's all rigged again" thing like we did with the Tuskworld event, but if I don't know, like what are they gonna do if the Kinshara win? Are they just gonna take their relics and leave? I mean, are we going to see like a war-torn Falador like Edgeville V2?
I don't think they'd do that after, you know, graphically updating it.
Exactly. And so I would be absolutely shocked. Number one, I don't think that the Kinshara have the support that the White Knights do. But also, even if they did, I don't know if Jagex would be willing to announce that the Black Knights won over the White Knights. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, that seems rather counterproductive for Falador itself. So
yeah, precisely.
Yeah. But I mean, you just do things for either side, and it supposedly counts toward that. So We'll have to wait and see on that. And of course, there's numerous things you can do. So I've been helping out the Black Knights, and what you can do for each side is you can either is it repairing or sabotaging? Because the catapults. Because I assume since you're getting construction XP, it's repair, but the option says sabotage.
It is sabotage. So if you're sabotaging the ones outside the walls, you are working for the White Knights. If you're sabotaging the ones inside the walls, you're working for the Kintra.
Right. And did that seem a little counterintuitive to you, that you're getting construction XP for her sabotaging?
And they mentioned that in the, if you heard the podcast that RuneScape did on the actual update, they were just like, I guess you need to know construction in order to destruct things, which from personal experience, that is absolutely not true. All you need is brute force. But hey, I mean, it's just an excuse for XP, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, healing the soldiers is done outside the walls, helping the Black Knights. And I haven't healed any White Knight soldiers. Do you know where those ones are?
They are within the walls. They're I've seen several near the square type area where the fountain is in the Herald.
Okay.
Just north of there, next to the park.
Right. In addition to this, you get construction and woodcutting XP for working with the catapults, and herb lore or constitution XP for working with the soldiers. And you can choose in what I think is a very nice game interface for this as to which one you get. I mean, there's radio buttons and... Oh, I'm sorry. Radio buttons are those buttons with the little circular dots where you can only choose one. That's a radio button. But that was very nice that you get a choice in this. I think everyone is going for the default construction and herb lore XP.
Yeah, well, and given that they are the buyables among the four skills, it only makes sense. I mean, for players to want to use a free method, I mean, who's going to scoff at free XP in a skill that usually costs your bank? So
yep, that's right. Totally right. There's also an option in there to disable combat XP for the event. So if you decide to do it the other way, gaining your accommodations, you kill the white or black knights and you don't get combat XP if you turn that off. So I guess that's nice for skill appears, I guess?
Or
people who are not wanting to touch certain combat skills?
It's just funny because it's like, I don't know, because wouldn't a skill appear just not want to attack them at all?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
It just seems strange to me. Maybe it's so if they accidentally misclick, because I've heard that's a potential reason for several of the hardcore Iron Men have been dying. So, I mean, that could be a possibility.
But. Yeah, let's talk about that for a moment. So many Iron Men have been lost during this event. I mean,
oh yeah, like the first day it was especially ridiculous. I don't know if they thought it was a safe death, but it was said beforehand that it was going to be an unsafe death, and it was just one after the other. Like, probably I was on for maybe 3 hours after the initial update hit, and had to have seen at least a dozen and a half hardcore Iron Men go down, and they're pretty high level now that they've raised the cap for alerts. So whenever you see that red text, you know they've put some hours into those accounts, and that's got to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the Twitter feed at Jagex Auto that broadcasts these, I follow that for fun. We have 1,079, White Knight, 1,417, 1,310, 1,004, 1,032, 1,993, Black Knight, 1,148, 2,153.
Oof. That one stings, man.
Yeah. 1053, 1524, 2139, and or no, I'm sorry, that was a force muspa. That's to be expected. Ah, here we go. 2331.
He had to have been close to like the high score, like front page.
Yeah, that's well, really that's the way it goes sometimes. But
yeah, brutal, brutal.
And of course, I mean, those... oh, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, it's those knights are hard. Like for some reason, I was dressed in basically nothing because I've been skilling all week, and I had my noxious bow equipped though, and I was like, ah, it's I was doing the sabotaging of the catapults, and I saw a white knight spawn and just thought, oh man, I'll just try one of these out and kill him. And all of a sudden he is fighting back, and I was lower on health. I had no food. I had to quickly flick soul split and anguish on and hope that I would survive, and I only ended up like living with 1500 life points. And I was a bit shocked that they made them pretty tough. They really do scale well to your level. They're not an easy fight.
Yeah. And I mean, of course we got other deaths on here. Most notably, a flytrap.
Flytrap.
Yeah. A flytrap got someone.
Oh, wow.
And someone standing in the fire, apparently.
Interesting.
Yeah.
People find really unique ways to die just to sort of, I don't know, as a humorous...
Why would you do that, though?
I have no clue, to spend hours and hours and hours and then just to die with a little bit of fanfare, but that's just all that work down the drain. Ugh. Makes me sad for them.
Ay, 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 ay. All right. Well, anyways, back to the event itself. whenever you do various actions at the Falador event here, whether it be combat related or skilling related, you get commendation points. And you can get these commendations also by way of the balloon drops. I think I want to say they happen every 25 minutes or so. I'm not sure on the exact time.
Yeah, I mean,
it's somewhere around there.
It's pretty frequent. I think it's more around a half hour, but it may be random.
And, well, you can get quite a few commendations from the balloon drop. Earlier this afternoon, I got around 300 from a balloon drop.
Huh.
And around the daily cap is 2,500, so.
How many balloons did you pop for that?
Oh, it was quite a few. I don't know, I didn't count. But it was, I mean, it wasn't like 3 and it wasn't like 20, so somewhere in between there. But these items also can be converted into supply crates, which when you open those, you can get all kinds of things. XP lamps, resource bundles, unique rewards, including fragments of the cosmetic banner, which is, of course, one of the relics we're supposedly fighting for in this event. But of course, bobblehead pets as well.
Of course. And have you looked at the dialogue for those?
There's dialogue for them?
Oh yeah. If you interact with the pets, there's gold in dialogue, especially really? For the Black Knight. There's like Monty Python references and, oh, and whenever, if you have the White Knight, pet and the Black Knight pet together, they'll do like this little, like duo type chant. I don't know it, but it's really funny, and I don't know, they're nice little pets.
So how do you get the interact option?
Oh, you just, I mean, I have all the left click and everything turned off on all my familiars. I just right click the little summoning button on your action.
Oh, okay.
And there will be an interact option when you have your pet out.
Yeah, because I have the full summoning menu on, you know, the right-click and left-click options like that on the actual familiars, and I didn't see anything, so I just assumed these were little things that just followed me around and did nothing, so I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, they don't, I mean, they don't do anything of utility, but they're cute, and they offer some nice dialogue options, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah, I got them on the third box that I opened.
Wow, nice. It took me to the second day, but I knew that I was going to get them eventually because I heard how common they were.
Yeah, they are a little nice follower things, so that's good. XP is also really great here, so if there's skills that you're dreading training, you know, whether it be divination, crafting, smithing, or any of the other really expensive ones, this is definitely a way of whittling that XP down. In the span of about an hour at this event here, or basically capping, someone from our clan got 71,000 divination XP.
Man.
So lots of XP to be had here for AFKing, even aside from the skills that we've previously mentioned. So definitely check this all out. But there's one more thing that people might overlook. And, you know, being the questers that we are, there's a little mini quest involved with this where you get some notes at the beginning. You just follow this trail and talk to various people around Falador, and well, you end up with, well, I'll let you tell you what we end up with.
Oh, well, you end up with the actual banner itself. I honestly remember, you don't really do anything with it though, do you?
No, it basically just enhances the existing banner if you already have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool. It sort of just gives backstory. Especially if you read the dialogue from each of the NPCs that you go along the trail, it gives you backstory of how you can tell that there are tensions between each group and how little they actually know of each other and just the divide between the two, and how each thinks that the banner has been placed where, and eventually you're able to puzzle it out by going to a series of random, somewhat random NPCs. They're not random. They basically tell you who to go to, but it's really interesting and quite fun. So
yeah, it was basically like a little treasure hunt. Kind of reminded me of the old fashioned quests way back when, where you just go talk and learn something along the way. So if you're at all interested in the RuneScape lore, you should definitely do that. But in addition to that, you end up in the Dwarven Mine, and a little spirit will appear, the spirit of Faradorn, and you'll have a discussion, and you know, you offer to be the so-called chosen one to lead the kingdom, but no, you're not the chosen one.
Nope.
So that is something that is kind of left open in this, and maybe we'll be getting an answer in the future. I tried to canvas around as to, you know, who the chosen one could be. We had all kinds of answers, you know, ranging from Sir Tiffy to the raptor and the treasure hunter lady as well. So
definitely Fred the Farmer. We all know. I mean, he's hiding something. He's got to be the chosen one.
Really?
Yes, correct. Okay. He is okay. Also a Majorat and an Elder God. So, Farmer Fred, 2016. Mm. Yes.
So that's your guess.
I mean, seriously, I don't know. It's most likely Sir Owen. Just from I don't know if they would mention that if it wasn't going to be one of the White Knights, and who better for the White Knights to Sir Tiffy, I would love, exactly. But he's a little old, and all the other knights, Serenity, Surveillance, all that, I mean, they're sort of secondary in nature, and who better to be the chosen one than a signature hero? So I think that would be most relevant, but we'll see.
Now, do you think this falls into place for the final arc of Sliskay's quest?
This? Oh.
You think this, I mean, it might come into play somehow, because, maybe. I mean, if not, when is this going to be talked about, right?
I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't even think of that in that sort of context.
But because it's either that, a bottle quest, or some 2017 questline that we're not familiar with? Because I think we've kind of gone as far as we can with the Black and White Knights, haven't we? Or is there more to discuss there, you think?
I mean, I think there's more to do with Temple Knights, at least, because once we started with the Sir Owen stuff, I think it'll continue in the vein of the signature hero plotline with the Death of Chivalry type plotline.
All right.
I don't know if it'll tie into Sliske's Endgame or anything like that, or much other Sixth Age related stuff. I think it'll be... That's just my own theory. I reserve the right to be wrong, but I would tend to think Sir Owen's storyline.
All right. Yeah, I think that makes the most logical sense after discussing it. And I mean, just a nice way to get lore in like that. I really appreciated that mini quest.
Agreed.
So, two final things before we move on from this. This mini quest does reward a permanent boost in XP and damage done at the Falador mini event, similar to the effect you get when you blow the battle horn.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want more XP, definitely follow through with this mini quest for the remaining week and a half of this event here, because, well, we like our free herb lore XP.
Exactly. Helps speed things up, so.
Indeed. So, final note here is that the Artisan's Workshop is also giving double respect and XP during this event, so if you need to train smithing or do something in the Artisan's Workshop, now's the time. Let's remember that this was updated back in April or May, I want to think. I don't know when. But it was earlier this year. So
yeah, with ninja skill improvements.
Right. So be a good time to go check that out. And defeating the giant mole gives double drops, which is two separate rolls, not exactly copies of your main drop.
They have gone to say that that is actually not the correct... they meant that it is not two separate rolls. It is actually... Because you don't, people were thinking that two separate rolls would mean double chance of pet.
Right.
So people were going after the pet, but apparently that's not the case. It's just like double normal drop. It's not a double.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well, there's the Falador update and surrounding mini event. Overall, pretty well done, I want to say, and they definitely made the right choice with focusing in on, well, just do stuff at the event and don't worry about which side's winning. We'll tell you who won after the fact. I think that preserves the balance in it, so that's good.
In that sense, I think they did a great job with it. If I could make one, if I have one thing to hold against it, I think the XP is just too much, like especially from the not from the actual activity itself, but when you redeem all your packages each day, because you get 25 a day, it is a lot of XP. Like each lamp, I mean, granted I am 90 plus all skills, but each lamp is like 15 plus K, and those lamps are extremely common. The loot bags aren't that lucrative, which is good. I think they did well with those, but the XP is a little bit over the top, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean,
incentivize.
That's exactly where I was going with this next, and I was going to say the exact same thing. One main complaint about this is that, you know, 2 days after this event comes out, what is everyone doing the event for? It's not because it's an event or because, I mean, the things are fun to do. I mean, let's be honest here. Sitting and clicking and AFKing something for 25 minutes a day on RS is not an idea of fun unless you're doing it with a community that you enjoy. So it's not necessarily a fun event, but it does give the XP, which does incentivize people to participate fully to each day. Now, with that being said, I think that this has been lost on people, and now that the initial, okay, let's see what's going on with the news post and the lore behind it, now it's just going to be an XP bucket for the next week and a half while it's here.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's kind of something you have to take into account. Okay, we have double XP weekends once or twice a year, so they can do that. So there's a similar quota on, I would imagine, how much free XP can be given out, as is would be the case with this. So while it's probably not hurting the game all that much, I just feel like maybe it's a little bit over the top, so I'm going to agree with you on that.
Yeah. That's my only real complaint, but yeah, agreed.
Yep. All right. So as we mentioned, you do put the banner of Rattlin' together with this part of the quest, or the event, sorry. Mm-hmm. But the other part is handled with this week's Treasure Hunter promotion, the Lost Sword of Rattlin'. Now, each day you log in, you gain 100 basic tools that you can use to participate in unearthing the chest that contains the sword. This runs from the 22nd of October to the 26th, so by the time you guys are listening to this, you got about 2 days left to complete it, which, I mean, it's not too much time, so hopefully you've been doing it before. But each day the experience changes on this. The first day it was farming or...
Mining.
And yesterday it was herb lore or woodcutting.
Woodcutting,
yeah. So you use these 100 basic tools you get each day, and then you can you get the commendation points for these. And as we progress through the event, you unlock the actual sword, which is a very neat way of doing a Treasure Hunter promotion, I think, because... You can also purchase these extra tool packs from the loyalty points store.
Mm-hmm. So I think they did. Yeah, they did a great job with this one. I'm not a big one for Treasure Hunter promotions, and I have not bought any bonds or any spins for this because you can complete it basically. You can get the rewards if you just log in and do this. Event every day. If you do it all 5 days, you'll get to 100% and get the reward, which is nice. You don't have to buy stuff. If you want to buy stuff, it'll speed you up, it'll give you free XP, and if you want to use loyalty points, that's also fine, but you don't have to. That's what I really think this one did well.
Yeah, they definitely hit the nail on the head with this promotion here, because the Treasure Hunter perk is the golden tool, which gives 25 times the contribution and 25 times the XP. So if the skill is 50 or over, and 10 times if it's below 50. So, I mean, it's not exactly tipping the scales in a hard way either. So it's very nice. And what member doesn't have 500,000 plus loyalty points they're just sitting on?
I think I only have like 200,000, but I also have a problem of spending mine. But
okay,
yeah. But no, I agree.
Yeah, the last time I spent loyalty points was on the thieving auras up to master, and the time before that was when the master auras came out, and I got the legendaries, and I got the legendary green fingers.
Green fingers, of course.
Yeah, so there we go with that.
Yeah, and
I
was just going to say that I've spent mine on Dragon Keepsake keys because I refuse to spend
Yeah. And I mean, that's perfectly fine too. And I mean, if I was more active in combat, I'd probably rent action bars and whatnot from the loyalty store. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. But anyways, other rewards you get when you're doing this, these are unlocked in sequence. The Sword of Rattlin' itself, an increase in maximum level for the sword up to 75. So once again, we're looking at a free level 75 weapon. And when you boil things down, level 75 is a perfect tier that, I mean, you can use this and you can go do most of the high-end Slayer that exists out there. Granted, you're not going to be able to cut through things very fast as if you had Drygors, but this is still a decent weapon.
Mm-hmm. Very much. On the Godsword level.
Exactly. One and two-handed cosmetic overrides, so you can have those even if you're using your Drygorts, which I guess people might like. A unique stance shown when the sword or override is wielded. Okay. Mystery boxes that can contain various treasure hunter's goodies as well as commendations. And the final mystery box will have a greater yield of prizes. Unlock it if you can. Iron Man accounts can participate in this, and Iron Man players also get the daily tools and can buy them with the loyalty points. They cannot claim the sword, but they can get the cosmetic overrides. They also can't get mystery boxes.
Yeah.
So, nice. I mean, this is, I think, finally a Treasure Hunter promotion that everyone can get behind. And, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate that the Peta Seasons wasn't done in a similar way. I mean, like, granted, yes, okay, we can do tons of skilling for the Peta Seasons and whatnot, but that was a lot of time. I think, how much gameplay would it have been? It would have been, like, basically 20 minutes per thing. So
it would have been, like,
up there.
Yeah, ridiculous amounts of hours, which, yeah, I didn't even get even close. I didn't even get one pet.
I got one. I got one.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, well, the thing is with that, they did want it to be rare. I mean, because it's supposed to be a tradable rare. And so to add that barrier of entry of actually having to pay for it, I mean, I guess it makes sense because if you were able to skill for it, it would not be nearly as rare and inherently would not hold the same amount of in-game value. But I still very much agree with that. So, oh well.
Okay, so maybe the pet was a bad idea. Then let's look back at previous Treasure Hunter ones then. Star Fury armor?
Yeah, that one, I don't remember, I didn't get much from that. I just, and if ever I did happen to land on the ore, I just sold it because it wasn't worth it to me because it was just so rare and I knew I wouldn't get enough. So that's probably a better example.
Yeah, so I mean, they could have done that with this and... it had some nice visuals with it, too, so maybe this might be an outline they can do in the future. Death Lotus, no. Slayer Masks, that's kind of a rare one that you want to have a chance at. So, I mean, I guess the way the format to look into these is, okay, let's just have it set like this for ones that have something that can be unlocked over time.
Yeah.
But, overall, very happy with this. All right. Anything else on Mr. Falador event?
Nope. I think we covered it pretty well.
All right. Well, on to the patch notes then for this week. Beastmaster Durzag and Yakamaru are now equally weak to all combat styles.
That's good.
Yeah, because, I mean... most other NPCs in game are weak to just have no weakness in general. So, I mean, that makes sense to not do this for raids. And that was the whole point of Evolution of Combat, was to allow people to use whatever combat style they wanted.
Yeah.
But also moving forward, Beastmaster Durzag will now trample players that stand too close to him. So I guess that... I'm not entirely sure how it works, but I imagine the melee tanks might have... been in that boat before, so they're gonna have to adjust their tactics here, because I remember the melee one, whoever you bring in your raiding group that does melee is the tank. So backhand and kick now require a melee weapon to be activated. Okay, so those were basic stuns, but given their name, don't you think that they should just be able to be used without a melee weapon?
Yeah, I mean, it's because you definitely don't need a melee weapon to backhand or...
yeah, or kick someone, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. That's,
yeah, but at the end of the day, who does combat using stuns without a weapon?
I don't know. I sometimes have to if I'm not use it, if I don't have a weapon on me. I didn't think I was going to have to engage in combat.
Okay.
I've punched several a foe to death in the last few weeks.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, especially if maybe on a clue scroll and I forget my bow and Guthix Wizard pops out and I just gotta sit
How
here
can
and
you take
punch.
A Guthix Wizard out without a weapon? Those things are hard even with
Takes
weapons.
A long time.
All right. The Super Anti-Fire buff icon no longer erroneously displays an additional 15 seconds when activated. That is good.
Yes.
That is one that you want to be as accurate as possible.
Yeah, no
you
kidding.
You don't want to get torched. Players that offer 100 Chronicle Fragments to Guthix's Shrine may now unlock the Of Guthix title.
Ray.
We never saw this coming.
No.
Because when they brought the titles out, when the God Emissaries came, we were told it was only for live gods.
Huh.
But then we had Heroes Welcome, and we had a V Emissary added, and of course, V is dead. So I guess someone said, okay, so if you're only offering these for live gods, why does V have one? Give us one for Guthix instead.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and I mean, personally, I think 100 Chronicle Fragments is a good thing to offer because it encourages people to explore that side of divination.
Have you done that yet? Have you done the Elder Chronicles?
No, I have not.
It takes a long time.
No, well, these are just regular Chronicle Fragments.
No, I don't think so. Or, let me look at the patch.
Because you don't take Elder Chronicle Fragments to Guthix's Shrine. You take those to the Elder Hall.
Yeah, you do. You take you retrieve the Elder Chronicle Fragments at the Elder Halls, and then you take them and donate them to the Shrine. Let me see if I have the title unlocked, because I have over 100. Oh, wow. What? I do not have it unlocked. This is bogus. I have donated 110 frag...
Oh, okay, so it says 110.
No, I've donated 110. Like, I can quick chat it, but... That's weird. Huh.
So maybe it is normal then.
Maybe it is, and Elder Chronicles don't count. That's strange, because Elder Chronicles... I guess that makes sense, because that's Elder God lore. It doesn't really have to do with Guthix. Ugh. I think they should count. It took me a long time for those. That's no fair. All right, well, I won't natter on about that, but interesting. I thought
okay.
That would be
A couple changes made to virtual leveling this week. Level 120 and 200 mil XP icons can now be set without the golden trim on the skills interface. So previously, in order to activate the icons, you needed to activate golden trim. Personally, for me, I think that's a really annoying feature. So it's good they've allowed this to happen like this.
Do you have any of those options enabled?
No, I just have the virtual leveling enabled. I don't want any... superfluous stuff on my UI.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm gonna get the gold trim. I should deactivate the gold trim because it kind of annoys me too. It's a little too busy.
Mm-hmm. The XP progress pop-up now appears for players with level 99 plus with virtual leveling enabled. So that means no longer you're just seeing numbers and you're actually seeing your progress each time you do something. So that's really nice. Increases immersion.
Mm-hmm.
More on that later. Setting a target level now has the progress bar count from the current virtual level rather than from level 99. Yeah, that's good. Considering if it's, you know, level 118 to 120, that's a far ways from 99.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to other things, cost to enchant the crystal rod is now higher in order to match its increased charges compared to other crystal tools. Cost ranges from 102 to 510k, depending on previous use of Elyonid's chanting services. So what's this about? You added this one in.
Yeah, before the fishing rod was... It only cost, I think it was like 5k or something, or 15k to recharge all 1,000 charges, which was not even close to the other crystal tools, which I don't remember. It's in the order of like 50 or something charges. It's something like way lower, but they were all priced the same. And I don't know. I got 93 to 98 fishing using waterfall with the crystal rod, so I'm kind of glad that they waited until I'm almost 99 to bump this way up. It's a massive price hike that they put on these the crystal rod, but yeah, so now it's a lot pricier to use those for fishing, so I'm not even sure if it's too worth it, because you go through one of those guys in like a couple hours, and that's like, that's paying, well, I mean, at the lowest range, it is only 50K, but to pay for a gathering skill still, to me, just seems wrong. You shouldn't have to pay for a gathering skill. So I don't even know if I'll use them to get to 99.
I don't know. It's an interesting mechanic. And, I mean, if there's a way to, you know, maybe add a bit of a cost to the elf waterfall fishing, then why not?
Yeah, no, I think gold sinks are good. I think item sinks are better at this point, but that's more economic stuff. And that should hopefully be remedied by invention in January. But yeah, no, I think it's overall good. It's just like, wow, I didn't expect them to jack it up that much.
Indeed. All right. And they've added the lore book to Broken Home. The text of this book was posted last year by the mod involved with the quest after it came out. It's just there was no time to insert it, and apparently the translation budget came into play. So,
yeah, so Ormond's last will and testament. I think it is in it's in the basement in the room where there are two coffins, I think. That's what I remember. So, yeah, all you Quest Point Master Cape people who went out there and did all the requirements for Broken Home, think again. You have to go back and pick up this book. So good luck, everybody.
Yeah, you and you are on the opposite side of this podcast for opinion on Broken Home. Earth and myself do not like Broken Home, whereas you seem to enjoy it.
Well, I do. I liked the lore from it. I thought it was a really unique quest from the actual feel it offered. The replayability, I think, is worth it. The rewards were good. I don't know if they should have nerfed the Surgeon's Ring as much as they did. I think it deserved a slight nerf, but not to the point where it's actually worse than the Sixth Age Circuit. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But overall, I thought it was a good quest, good environment, pretty solid. Had a few errors, but I just don't really want to go back because I've done it enough, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm willing to do it. It's what you got to do for the cape. So
it gives you the spookies?
I don't know, maybe it's a little spoopy.
Okay.
Mildly.
All right, well, maybe something a little spooky for next week. The Gauntlet of Souls, the Halloween event that we're going to be having this year, Ichlorin versus Amaskid, Rune Labs update. We'll have to see if it can pass The Light Within. Did I get that name right?
Yes.
The Light Within as the second best Rune Labs update of this year. I'm personally saying that The Light Within will still remain the best Rune Labs update so far, but we'll wait and see on this. We'll see where this fits in. But another mini event coming in, Ichlorin versus Amaskid in the Underworld. You know, part of me thinks we should be doing traditional Halloween.
Yeah, nah, I understand.
I mean, last year's was almost Halloween feeling. This year's, I don't think it's going to be that Halloween feeling, aside from the fact, you know, it deals with death and whatnot. But
yeah.
That's just me. I go back to the RS traditional events, and basically, I prefer the tradition. I mean, handing candy out, decorating the tree, that kind of thing.
Oh, my gosh. Earlier this week, did you see the RuneScape channel? They tweeted out the picture of the 07 event Grim Reaper's house. Oh, that was one of my favorites.
No, that, I missed that one. Oh,
it's good. All right. Made me kind of want one of those, but I don't know. I can see where you. I like the idea of this one. It's all lore stuff, which
that's
you guys
true.
Can
that's
find
true.
Out more about in an upcoming Informer article from me later this week, this next week.
Ah, but, yes.
As
very
I will
good.
Go into the lore of the underworld in RuneScape, but yeah, no, I think it would have worked better as a small quest, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, and I mean. Some interesting gameplay mechanics on display here that we'll see next week. I mean, there's going to be rowing a boat, which, I mean, we've never actually rowed a boat and had our players go on the water before, so that's going to be interesting. Also, of course, there's going to be a group boss fight, kind of like the Claudia instance this past summer at the beach. So there's going to be that. But yeah, we'll save our critical discussion on this event until it actually comes out and we've had a chance to sample it, because it's just not fair to rate something before it comes out.
Of course.
All right. So that's it pretty much for this week's RS updates. So that means it's time for questions. Not too many this week, actually, just one, an interesting one from Trekkie. Would you care to read it?
Sure. Question from Trekkie. The Citadel needs a good update. Most people go to the Citadel just to do the plots and the avatar. If we were to use the Citadel more, what would you add? Well, personally, I think, for one, we're still missing a massive, obvious gathering skill that should be added, fishing.
Okay.
Yeah. Why? Where do we get the food that we're cooking? Why don't we should fish it? That only makes sense to me. Because don't we we get the smithing bars from the ore and everything that's mined and we burn the logs that we cut. It all makes sense in those, but we just cook for the heck of it. I mean, where do we get our food? So I think we should fish it. But I've heard that idea a lot, and so to offer something a little more unique, I do think that the idea of having sort of a cooperative, clan-wide, almost distraction and aversion / mini-game type thing, like almost a player-owned ports, but not, like, player-owned airport. I don't want to say airport, because that sounds really modern, but like... Because, like, airships instead of...
Right,
and I don't
yeah.
know what that would really entail.
And the citadels are set in the sky of Armadale's domain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, but I don't know. I just think it would be... I think a minigame... I don't really have any concrete ideas, but something that would... wouldn't be something too intensive where everyone has to get on at once... But you at least need to have a group of players that are dedicated to it and are willing to cooperate together and actually have to interact. They don't just go there and do their thing in AFK. I think that sort of an idea would be interesting, especially if they add proper incentive to it. So that is my idea.
That's really good. I know one thing I had fun with back in the olden days when these first came out is the ability to design battlefields. I basically made a minefield, and if you got to the end of it, you were considered a winner. Though I don't know if anybody actually uses the clan battlefields anymore. So I was thinking maybe something like that would be a good thing to look at, revitalizing them as a part of the multi-plank PvP strategy. Well, I think I just... coined a campaign there, a multi-plank PvP strategy.
Nice.
Because, I mean, you need to do it in the clans, and you need to do it in the wilderness, and you need to do it in the mini events. So there's our multi-plank PvP strategy. Then you tie combat in as a cornerstone, and voila, that's the best way of bringing back PvP. And it needs to have consultations from all various stakeholders, including PvPers, skillers, and, of course, the JMods. And
that's really interesting.
Yeah, that's where Darkscape comes in too. I think that's the number one thing we can be hopeful for with Darkscape is bringing in PvP side of things and revitalizing it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe something PvP related, even though I'm not much of a PvPer, that would be interesting. And I'm going to take this one step further and talk about how when the Evolution of Combat came out, the general thought with RS is that they wanted to turn the RS combat system essentially into a MOBA-style combat system, so you know, Dota, League of Legends, that kind of thing, and RS would have that kind of combat and that kind of bossing instances. So in that way, you could maybe go PvP on that front, as in you have various, you know, signature heroes and other characters from in-game, and you can control them somehow, maybe, and have them all battle together in a PvP sense, or just have players battle like that. But of course, here we're talking combat once again. Tick rate comes into play, so there would need to be massive engine changes for this to be even workable, in my opinion. So while it's a pipe dream, it's out there, and it all fits in with the multi-playing PvP strategy. So that's that. But yeah, I'll go with you on fishing or something like that. But you know, obviously me, farming.
Yeah.
Of course, maybe like this would be a good place to have the greenhouse.
Man, it needs to be somewhere.
Yeah, and I mean, you could go PvP. Oh, I'm sorry, construction wise, and put it in the POH. But maybe that's not the best way, and it could be done with surface world construction, or take it one step further and put it in the clan citadel. And then combine construction and farming. Ooh. There's a good idea.
That would be a good idea. I think that would work out better even than the player-owned house. It would incentivize people to go to the Citadel and actually do something there. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you look back in history at the feudal society, what was the thing everyone gathered around? It was the family farm.
Yep.
And that's what clans are really in RS, is they're essentially groups of families together. At least that's the way I look at them.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense.
So, there are lots of great ideas. I think we just came up with four or five of them right there. Fishing, yeah. PvP, new combat, PvP, or PvP, combat, NPC versus NPC, controlled by players. Farming and construction are rolled into one. But anyways, I guess I'll just throw this in right now. We would like it if Jagex would provide us with better logging utilities, such as who invited people to a clan, who kicked people, who banned people, and who kicked people. If there could be a log for that, that would trump all these updates we just talked about.
Yeah. Clans get neglected.
Yeah, that's been a problem for a long time, and I mean, with clans being such a central part of the game now with Citadels, it would be really nice to have a logging update, if anything, from Jagex on this.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right. Great question, Trekkie. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So, if you guys want to send questions in, just email them to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 571-57BNB. Which is 571-572-2632. You know the number. That's excellent. And, of course, we also take text messages there. If you don't want to use your voice, just send us a text message and we'll read it in. But if you are from an international audience, I would suggest using the email because we have had some concerns that international texts do not get delivered to that number for some reason. Not sure why.
Huh. But,
yeah, that's the two ways of doing it if you don't visit update.rsbb.com/ask. All right, so ready to move on to tech news?
That I am.
All right, so I assume you use YouTube a fair bit, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, are you one of those people who spends most of their time on YouTube looking at videos and using it as a music source?
I like to use it as a music source. I mean, if I'm wanting to listen to specific songs, I'll often listen to like Pandora or something for shuffle, but I'm not a big Netflix fan, and so I get most of my entertainment from like YouTube channels and things like that, especially when I'm on just playing RuneScape and that kind of stuff. So I do use it quite a bit.
All right. Well, coming on October 28th, 5 days from recording day, YouTube is launching something called YouTube Red. It's basically a premium YouTube experience that lets you access everything you currently do on YouTube, except there's going to be no ads on any video. It also has the benefit of allowing you to save videos to watch offline, so you can, you know, if you're on a limited data plan on your phone or tablet, you just save them and it'll download them to the device and you can watch them whenever you want. This is going to cost $9.99 a month, so pretty much the same as Netflix. Extends across pretty much anywhere that you sign into YouTube, so it's all YouTube encompassing. So this also, you know, is YouTube Gaming, which is their competitor to Twitch. We'll see where that goes. But they're also launching a new YouTube Music application with this. Now, you might be wondering, okay, how is this going to work? Well, you know, there's so many music videos and whatnot on YouTube that, well, Google might as well just serve these up as music tracks, because that's one thing people tend to do a lot, is just use YouTube as their music jukebox, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, if you're listening, of course, online, audio quality is not that great. It's compressed, nowhere near as good as, you know, a Spotify Premium or an Apple Music kind of thing, but it gets the job done. So basically, YouTube Music will allow you to do this from its own, you know, standalone application. There won't be any ads. You'll be able to make playlists and everything like that. And it's going to tie in with Google Play Music. So you subscribe to a song on Play Music, or you subscribe to a song on YouTube, you get access to it on either or.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, if you are an Android person or at all involved in Google Play Music, this is something you're going to want to look into. Though, I mean, I don't know. I feel like Google Play Music is kind of behind the ball when it comes to everyone else, because you got Spotify out front, definitely. Apple Music is catching up, but I don't know if this will entice people to do it.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, personally, I don't think I would pay for this service, even with how much I use YouTube, just given the fact that it's, I mean, Spotify for me, with my .eu address is $5 a month versus $10 a month, and I don't know, I feel like it would be, I mean, I haven't seen, obviously, YouTube Music yet, but I feel pretty comfortable with the way Spotify does things. If I were to choose to pay for a premium music service, that's probably what I'd go to.
All right. But there is one more thing that comes with this. Starting next year, YouTube's biggest content creators will be able to create exclusive content for Red. So that is, they'll be able to say, okay, this video is only for Red subscribers only. And of course, they'll probably get a cut from that. I don't know how much, but it provides another way for them to make money.
Yeah, that I'm not a fan of.
Why not?
I don't know. I just feel like it's, I mean, I don't know. It's just been, it's been the way it is for so long that why can't you just keep it with the ads and everything? Like, I'll take the ads and, I don't know. Gating content is when I don't feel like it's entirely fair to the user. Like, if, say, I, like, one of my favorite channels, if they were to just stop uploading regularly and only upload to Red, it's kind of screws off their fan base. And although, yeah, they may make more money, they're going to lose a lot of subscribers because people are just going to be ticked with them. And I don't know, it's often divisive, and I'm not sure if that sort of service is something that many people will use, and if they do use, will probably be under heavy fire for, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I mean, just thinking about it now, I don't think it's going to be aimed at, you know, the kind of channels that you are talking about. I think, if anything, it would be a good way for the TV networks to get involved with this, because they've struggled with online for so long. And if there could be a revenue stream back to them, it might be a way of dropping that one barrier for them. So that would be my hope with this.
That's a good point. I mean, okay, if that could be like almost a, as strange as it sounds, like almost in like a Netflix alternative, if it were to be something,
it would be a Netflix alternative for TV.
Yeah. Okay. If now that you say that, that makes more sense for
like
for regular YouTube channels. It doesn't make as much sense, but for that kind of stuff, I completely agree.
Yeah, and I mean, prime example of this, of course, all those horrible late night comedy shows that everyone likes to watch.
Yeah.
So, well, and I just say horrible because I don't like them, but I'm sure people do.
You and I see eye to eye on this.
We won't talk about why we feel that way, will we? We'll save that for another time.
Yes.
All right. YouTube Red, U.S. first, of course. You get a free 1 month trial starting October 28th, and YouTube Music app is coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this kind of explains why the iOS app got a major redesign about 2 weeks ago, and everyone was freaking out about it. If you go into the YouTube app on iOS, it is decisively red.
Very. It shook me a little. Like, everything was so different. Like, the interface, like the bar to get to your profile and all your subscriptions and everything used to be on the left, and now it's on the top, and just everything is so different. I like it, and now that I'm getting used to it, I think it's a little faster, and I feel better with it, but it's very, very changed.
Huh, did I get this? I'm not seeing any red on mine.
You're not? No red on your application?
No.
Really?
No. I'm on the home screen right now.
Are you on the current? That's strange. I don't
know.
Yeah,
and I have auto updating turned on. Oh, speak of the devil. Here we are.
Oh. Yep, yeah, mine is very red. Very decidedly red.
All right. So that's YouTube Red. Will be definitely interesting to see what they do with this. Next up, Yahoo. We don't really hear from Yahoo in terms of search anymore, do we? It's always Google.
No.
Yahoo has struck a deal with Google to provide search ads and search results and image search.
So basically they are going to be Google now.
Well, not quite. Because remember, Yahoo already gets its search results from Bing.
And Bing doesn't get theirs from Google?
No, Bing is their own search engine.
I see.
That's so, what they say. Well, that's what they say. And I mean, we have to believe them on that.
Yeah, so, I know. I'm just teasing.
Well, yeah. And I mean, there was a story back in 2011 that, maybe Microsoft is stealing these away from Google. So, but anyways, so basically what's going to happen is you go to Yahoo and you do a search. Oh, wow, that is red. Okay, yes, here we go.
Just
updated. But you'll go to Yahoo, and the algorithm will decide, okay, who has the better result, Bing or Google, and it will provide it. Google does not have to meet a minimum requirement for queries. That means they could serve one or they could serve 50,000 results from Google. I think it's an interesting strategy for Yahoo, because if you think about it, when was the last time Yahoo was popular?
When I created my very first email account in 2005.
There you go. Maybe. So, yeah, exactly. But and that's the problem with Yahoo, and I think they are making some strategic strategies here to keep themselves relevant, which they need to do, because tech companies seldomly last 20 years unless they're massive. So this is Yahoo's next play. And I mean, they just released a completely redesigned email client as well. So this is the next logical step for them. And maybe what they're banking on is that there will be people who are upset with the privacy downfalls of Google, which don't want to use a Google service and have, you know, all their searches tracked and everything like that and become the product, so to speak. And there are people who don't feel Microsoft's Bing is up to it. So Yahoo is the middle road that you use, where if you want something that's, you know, not all seeing into your life and you want good selection and search, you go with that. So that's my guess on it. But I mean, you're not going to tear people away from Google. I tried to use Bing for, you know, a little while last year, and it didn't work.
It's too painful. Just,
well, I mean, it's not that. I mean, the results are there. It's just there's things you expect, specifically the context-aware searching. Like you search an actor or something like that, and you get all the pertinent information without having to drill down. Now, yeah. Bing does that for some things, but I mean, at the same time, they're not doing it for everything. So Google just is more smart, I feel.
They're both clean, but Google knows so much, it's just hard to compete.
Yeah. So, and Yahoo needs to do this because they're the last major player in search next to Microsoft and Google, and I don't think having competition disappear is a good thing.
You forgot Ask Jeeves. Thank you.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no. I mean, I'm fully aware of that search engine, but are
it was meant to be a joke.
Okay,
no,
so people don't actually still use Ask Jeeves.
It is very dead. Yeah,
because it got converted to Ask.com, if I recall. Yeah,
exactly.
Though, you know, one thing that is neat is that if you search for RuneScape podcast on either Google or Bing, we're the second result after Jagex's podcast.
Dang. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just did it. There you are, right there.
And see, that's the number one thing about having a well-designed website is I can go in RuneScape and tell people I do a podcast and just say search RuneScape podcast or RSVNB update, and I don't have to type a URL.
Wow. That is cool.
I know, eh?
Yeah. Right on.
You're learning. You're learning. All right. Well, let's talk about everyone else's least favorite website that happens when they update things. Facebook.
Facebook.
Did you know Facebook has 2 trillion posts?
No, that is a lot of posts.
Yeah, and 1.5 billion searches a day.
Jeez.
On Facebook. So Facebook has updated its search to be able to search, believe it or not, all 2 trillion posts.
Jeez.
Yeah. They're also getting into the real-time arena, which is something that Twitter has primarily only done. Mm. So that gets really interesting, I think, as well. Because the way I see it is there's 3 pegs of search on the internet. You have the Twitter search for real-time right now, and you populate that with news and celebrities and people you know at a distance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the wider internet, which is just for things that, you know, might be popping up in your head, like a question, what is the quotient rule to derive a derivative or something like that? So that's what you use Google for. Or, you know, just finding general information about your whereabouts. Where is the nearest gas station and tell me what it is? And then you have Facebook, which is populated by people that you know, and the data is provided by people you know. And once again, you can follow news organizations on Facebook, just like you do on Twitter. So in bringing it real time, they effectively kill 2 birds with 1 stone and step into the Twitter arena while providing a personalized perspective on it based on the people that you know, which is where it gets interesting.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah. And I mean, that just hit me today when I was preparing this because, you know, I don't like Facebook.
No.
And I mean, things that also come with this update are better search suggestions, so personalized, timely search suggestions, and they'll highlight things that are happening right now so you can follow popular stories. Okay, that's good. Search results with public posts and posts from friends. They say any post you've ever seen on your Facebook feed, you'll be able to search. Anything you have access to is searchable by you. And from a data science perspective, indexing 2 trillion posts and then filtering it down based on people you know is a time-expensive operation that Facebook is doing for you. So this is not something simple to do. And finally, public conversations with search. When a link gets shared widely on Facebook, It often anchors an interesting public conversation. Now there's a new way to quickly dive into that discussion. With one tap, you can find public posts about a link, see popular quotes and phrases mentioned in these posts, and check out an aggregate of overview sentiment. Now,
very neat.
Yeah, now when you combine this with the news aspect that we talked about a couple months ago, where, you know, news agencies like the New York Times and whatnot are going to be posting their own articles, it gets interesting to a degree that there's going to be that much more integration. But at the same time, if there's links that can be posted, why not just have the links offsite hosted? And that's, I think, the way I'd prefer to do it. But yeah, I think that this is the next step for Facebook. And, you know, Twitter is still going to have its own field to do this kind of thing, because, like I said, it's a different audience and a different source. So there's no reason for Twitter to worry about this. It's just something that Facebook can do and should be doing. And this drops today for people in the U.S. on English for the iPhone, Android, and desktop.
Cool.
So, yeah. Interesting. I don't normally find Facebook interesting. I think the last time I found them interesting was when they introduced an at facebook.com email service, which they killed off last year. Disappointing.
Yeah.
Because what it wanted to do was combine instant messaging and email, which is something people need to do. Google tried it, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Yeah, this is definitely the most innovative thing, at least in my opinion, that they've done in a while. So that's good.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. Well, that's it for tech news. Should we talk about skill of the month?
Yes. And oh my goodness. Jeez, man. Adorai Cronon.
That's a fairly linear trajectory.
A madman. Is he just all day just sitting there at the Sarenstones, just nonstop? He clearly has the win and does not stop. He must be going for, I mean, at this point, he's what, 88 million XP? He's going to be closing in on 120 eventually. That's really impressive.
He's gained 34 million XP so far this month. Been maintaining about average 1.5, 1.6 million XP a day.
Yeah. Wow.
So, insane XP. Second place is Corpi with 7.1 million XP gained. And third place is Tyler with 3.7. And then, as we mentioned last week, Tim at the very bottom flatlined.
What happened?
Which is interesting. Yeah, what happened to Tim? Because if we look back at the archives for the rest of the year, we see Tim won every month except for June and September.
He was sweeping it, man. Ugh. Poor guy.
Anyways, right, Tim. Oh, I'm sure he's all right. I'll check in with him later. But
good.
We should know what the new skill of the month is by the end of the weekend. That'll be for November. You can sign up on the exact same page here you see in the show notes, rsbnb.com/skotm.
Yep.
Achievement of the week. It's one again this week.
Yeah. Jesse Pinkman got 99 Slayer on October 22nd of 2015. That's awesome.
Congratulations. Yeah, 99 Slayer is still quite an achievement, I think.
Oh, yeah. Even though Slayer rates are a lot higher now, and players would argue that combat's easier in general, it still takes quite a while to grind a 99 Slayer, and you've got to start from the bottom with some pretty grindy creatures, and still takes some fortitude to get up there to 99, so congrats, man.
Indeed. I wonder if I'll ever get 99 Slayer.
What are you sitting at right now?
95.
Oh, yeah, it wouldn't take you long. I mean, maybe about a week of gameplay and you'd be there.
See, here's the thing. I don't want to do that, because then if I do that, it's one less skill to train, you know?
No, I understand. But you could go for 120.
I don't know at this point. But All right, so last week we had the Call of the Ancestors quest. Barring any more internet failures, by the time you guys are hearing this, that will be up on our YouTube channel. You can watch Earth's playthrough of this quest. Always interesting to watch quests being played through, especially with audio commentary from another player's perspective. So you can find that link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. His playthrough.
Go check it out.
Yeah, no face cam, unfortunately. We're not sure how to record that yet from Twitch. So, because there are times where you want that. Apparently there was some face made when the Gobies went off to paint themselves.
Some, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that from that episode, right?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And other things, too. That episode, I think, had around 4 or 5 clips that are going to appear on the clip show.
I didn't mean that.
Anyways. Time for a pick of the week.
Moving on. Yeah, tell us about your pick, Shane.
Well, yesterday I was having a discussion with one of the members from Clan Quest about derivatives. And I was looking for, you know, mnemonics and whatnot to make various derivative things easier. And, you know, of course, being on YouTube and whatnot, I thought, okay, let's see if there's anything interesting on YouTube for the various rules. And I found a cover. Or is that the right word, a cover? Or an adaptation?
I think it would be an adaptation or a parody.
Yeah, okay, parody. I found a parody of the song called Call Me Maybe that I don't even know who it's by.
Carly Rae Jepsen, the famous Canadian. You didn't know that? Yeah,
okay.
You'd be proud of your heritage.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Yeah, so I'll just play a little bit of that right now. I thought it was amusing.
It is.
And of course, if you are not a math person, you can just tune out for the next 30 seconds or so. And that's just the door opening because it is a music video.
I made a wish about you. X of D is 22. I look to you for a clue. V of T decreasing. I make the graph concave up. The interval I set up. Rotate it into a cup. Radius increasing. Study the relation. Trying integration. Graph the correlation. Why'd you use your substitution? Hey, I just met you. And this is crazy. But here's my DU. Derive me maybe. It's hard to integrate without your baby. But here's my DU. Derive me maybe. Hey, I just met you. And this is crazy. But here's my DU. Derive me maybe.
Alright, so there's a bit of the preview. You can find the rest of that on YouTube. Link in the show notes.
Yay, calculus.
Yeah, and I mean, it covers everything from, you know, substitution to limits and how limits are so hard and then something that makes them a whole lot easier, right?
Yeah, it goes through a lot of the basic stuff of your first few calculus classes that you'll get. So it's kind of a cool song.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to go any further in math, you basically need to know all these things and be able to do them in your sleep.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So, yeah. And I'd like to stress at this point that that is something why, you know, if you've ever had trouble with pre-calculus, that's why that's such an important course, because it's basically the fundamental foundations for everything you'll do later on in a calculus-based math trajectory, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I could keep talking about that for a while, so you just tell me what you've been up to this week on RS.
Oh man, RS! I'm still grinding away at the massive list of Quest Point Master Cape requirements. I've gotten a lot of them done. I'm actually at the very end of the list, but I've saved the longest ones for last. I'm at 116 Dungeoneering, and I need 117. I need to go back and get all the lore books from Dominion Tower. I need three more trio missions at ports, and I need to do...
How are you not finished ports?
Oh, during last year, I just stopped doing ports, and so once the last update came out, I never touched it, unfortunately. Yeah. So, but I'll be there. I'll be there by the time it's out, and I have temple trekking, and then I also
found
out... Yeah, that's a thing, but I also found out that you need 99 rune crafting, because initially... Yeah, Archmage Cedrador's Archmage title was required, but apparently that's been removed. And so apparently as soon as I read that that it was removed, I of course teleported out of the Runespan and then read on in that news post and read that you still have to get 99 rune crafting to fully loot his rune essence chest. So I lost all my progress in the Runespan, so that was nice. So that's fun. I really didn't want to get 99 rune crafting because I wanted to save it for when it was more useful. I was just going to chill at 90.
Right.
But, oh, well.
Well, I mean, what you could do is you could do the Abyss with the demonic skull.
Yeah, I'm not that dedicated to taking it the old school or... new old school route. I'm just gonna Runespan it out, and yeah, it's not bad. I'm at 96. I'm making my way. I started at 90 this week or last week, I think. Sometime it blurs together time, space, all that.
We need to rethink elements as basic as space and time to get the Master Quest Point cape done, don't we?
Very true. There's a lot that needs to be done, but it's fun. I enjoy it. It's going through the requirements. It's, to me, it's so much more satisfying than like grinding for max or anything like that, because it's every day I'm doing something different. Even if I am at Runespan a lot, it's fun. It's a lot of variety. It's just, it's interesting. So I recommend anyone who likes adventuring to go out there and just chunk away at it bit by bit. Even if you don't intend to get it anytime soon, there's a lot of really cool stuff that you probably didn't know was in the game, like really obscure content, like unlocking the ability to turn your cats purple requires a mini quest, and it's just the most random stuff that it's really kind of cool to unlock and uncover all that kind of stuff. So highly recommended.
Yeah, and I mean, I hope that that's one of the things that the Master Quest Point cape enables is creating a new generation of RuneScape players who care about questing, because for the longest time, I think you've had two camps of players. You've had ones, well, three. You've had ones who really, really care about the quests and the lore of the game, us. You've had people who just do quests for the rewards, which, I mean, is okay, I guess, but that kind of hurts me a bit. And then you've had the ones who just don't care at all. So I'm hoping it'll help one of those two camps, discover the rich lore behind RuneScape. And I think that's one of the best things this game has to offer. I mean, it's deceptively simple at first until you start paring it down, right? Yeah,
very true. It's very deep. And so, yeah, that good point.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. As for me this week, I am now under 700,000 XP to go to level 120 farming.
Woo! So close. Party time.
Yeah. We're aiming to have a little party next Friday before the podcast recording. And if I can get the stars to align, maybe we'll do a live show next week, but I'm not promising anything just yet. So we'll have to wait and see as to how that looks.
Oh, no. Keep going.
Okay. Hypothetically, it would look like this. We record, get 120 farming, spend about 10 minutes doing that at the beginning of the show, and then head into the week's content. And we do have a guest booked for next week that I'm keeping close to my chest until I post the questions topic on Monday. Though it's a guest that everyone likes and anticipates coming on the show very often. So
I bet I could guess who that is.
Well, you'll tell me later. We're not going to discuss that publicly on air here. So
keep it a secret.
Indeed. But aside from that, on RS, you know, just doing the Falador event, and well, that's pretty much it. Still trying to find something else to do on there aside from 120 farming. I'm thinking Herblore will be next. With my own herbs. The problem I'm having, though, with that is I'm trying to find a secondary ingredient that I can get cheaply or I can produce myself. Right now, the leaning best candidates are white berries and dragon scales. Or, if I want something that's not tradable, just do it all with adrenaline potions, because I have tons and tons of papayas. I could bring those in decent numbers.
Yeah.
So that's an option as well. But that's, of course, a net loss. I'd like to end up with something at the end, so we'll see how that goes. But anyways, you know, aside from that, we just exercised our democratic right here in Canada this past Monday. As I'm sure everyone in the media across the entire world has heard by now, this election did seem to penetrate international boundaries faster than the previous ones, so you can take whatever you will from that, but we did that this week. That's always fun. It's always like a horse race kind of thing, you know? We, the Canadians of the RSPB staff, myself, Mike, and King Kala, aka Patrick, do predictions as to what the final count is going to be and everything like that, but unfortunately, we were all wrong this time.
Yeah,
we counted on the polling that's done before the race ends to be wrong, because it has been wrong before. We all thought it was going to be wrong like that, but the pollsters were actually right this time, believe it or not. So, looking at the numbers, it looks like... yeah, no one was close, but... Anyways, that's been the week. So, yeah. Anything else before we go?
No, not really. Just glad to be on, and thank you for having me.
All right, then. Well, we'll see you next week for the Halloween edition of RSBNB Update, and Shane gets 120 farming. Take care, everyone.
Bye.